Welcome back to the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. My name is James Robert Lay, founder and CEO of the Digital Growth Institute, where we are on a mission to help financial brands stop losing loans and deposits. Today's episode is part of the Digital Leadership Series. And before we get into today's discussion, if you're on a marketing, sales, or leadership team at a financial brand, I want to invite you to join over 300 growth-minded leaders in the digital growth community who are all committed to learning, connecting, and growing together. You can become a member in less than 60 seconds when you visit www.digitalgrowth.com/membership. Now, joining me for today's conversation is Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And today we're going to continue our conversation on asking an important question: who is on your team? Time, energy, attention, and even money. Welcome back to the show, Audrey. Great to share time with you today.
Thank you, James Robert.
What is good in your world before we get back into this conversation that we thought we were just going to talk about in one episode, and we talked through time, and then we realized that we ran out of time, or we invested time appropriately and wanted to pivot and expand the thinking into energy today. But what's good in your world right now, personally or professionally?
So I teased this to you a little bit earlier before we started, but I just have to share a very entertaining morning my kids and I had, and then I'm gonna tie it to this conversation actually. So we get startled out of bed this morning at 4:30 with the power going off in our neighborhood. Go try to find the flashlights. Well, out of batteries. No flashlights in the house. And my daughter, she goes, "Wait, I've got glow sticks in my closet we could crack open." Oh, and I'm like, yes, so smart. So I get my cell phone light out. I'm following two kids around with the flashlight, phone light, trying to get them dressed. Thankfully, we had our lunches made the night before. I call my parents. They're in the neighborhood too, and they have a generator. So I tell them we're heading over. And then I realize, oh, the garage door is not going to work. Can't get out of the garage door. So I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm about to just really kind of get in the gap here. Like, this is just not the way I wanted to start my morning. I get the garage door. It's my house was built like the 1970s. So This thing is a little rickety. So I'm messing with it. And I finally get it up. And my kids are like, yes, you did it. I mean, they're celebrating. We get in the car, head over to my parents' house. We had not been in the door 5 minutes before all the neighborhood power got restored. So we just had a little bit of a hectic morning. Anyways, I get back early to my house, get my day started early, and I give you a text and say, hey, I know we weren't supposed to go on the air till 10:30. I am up. I am ready. You want to hop on early? And you're like, let's go. Heck yes. Ride this energy, which plays right into today's conversation, because that is what gives you energy, changing the routine. So it just kind of worked out. It all worked out nicely. And it's a funny little story we can tell later.
Well, it is. And I think at about 4:30 this morning, because you're about an hour or so, 45 minutes or so away from where I live. And I want to say that there was probably some storms moving through that could have knocked the power out. Because I remember, like, at least on our side of town, I heard some pretty loud thunder. But when you think about this idea of energy, you even mentioned here, you could have gone into the gap. And the gap is where you begin.
I was getting into the gap.
And the gap is, for those watching or listening who have never heard this term before, the gap is where you begin griping about problems. And I think when we're having these conversations, particularly as a leader, as a digital leader, in an age of exponential change where there are a lot of unknown variables and things are moving and changing very rapidly, asking ourselves these questions of how are you investing your time, which we talked about in our previous conversation. Today, we're going to focus on how are you spending your energy, because energy is in fact finite. The third one is, what are you paying attention to? And then finally, all of that's going to impact how you perceive money and meaning in your life, whether that be personally or professionally. So how are you investing your time? What are you spending your energy on, and what are you paying attention to? So let's get into this idea of energy today, because one of the things that I wrote about in Banking on Change is emotion is energy in motion. There is positive energy, there's negative energy. And to your point, you look for batteries on for your flashlight. You didn't have any. And
I'm not prepared.
If you think about the battery, what does the battery have on both ends? You have a positive end, and you have the negative end. And one of the things that I have learned through my time in Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan is there are two types of people in the world. There are people who come with batteries included, and there are people that come batteries not included. And that might upset some people hearing that. It also might make them realize, you know what? There are people in my life who are batteries included, and there's those who are batteries not included.
Validation.
Thinking about yourself and this idea of energy and the people around you being batteries included or batteries not included, how has that helped you perceive the world as a leader yourself?
I think just given me a little bit of awareness that, you know, there are people in my life who give me energy. And there are people that I've had in my life who are energy takers. They require energy from you. And I think once I started to realize that and realize that, okay, there are just certain people out there who need more from you, who require more, who drain energy from you. And if you're not getting anything, usually it's kind of, it should be a two-way street. Mm. You know, you give a little, you get a little, but there are times where it's just, there are energy takers. And I think you kind of have to be okay with assessing whether or not maybe they should be in your life. And sometimes it's people very close to you. And other times it may not be. So it's easy to kind of, you know, put some boundaries up. And because at the end of the day, you have to protect yourself first and foremost, and your energy. And so I think just being mindful, and if there are those energy takers out there, and maybe they are people that are close to you, there's still ways you can kind of work with that. And I know we've both experienced this in our lives where we've had to put up some, you know, boundaries. And that's with all due respect.
Yeah. Well, because if you think about this, positive emotions and positive energy from the people around you are going to continue to propel you upwards. Yeah. And that leads to exponential growth, where you perceive that you're growing personally and professionally at the same exact time. But exponential growth is also the result of those around you growing together. I can tell you from just personal experience, whenever I have made progress on my own journey of growth, there are people in my life who were growing at the same rate that I was. And that created some tension. And in fact, that actually, you started to see who was batteries included and who was batteries not included. And when there's batteries not included, they're going to want to hold you back and pull you backwards. And that's the thing. It's like negative emotions are a negative energy. That's what depletes us. It's what makes us feel tired. And I think a really good gut check of this is, at the end of the day, how are you feeling? And if you're feeling drained, exhausted, and maybe you can provide some perspective of this, of just your own personal narrative here that we've talked about before, but you know, there are new people who are listening, there are new people who are watching that might not have that perspective. How does this relate to just your thinking about energy here when it comes to your own personal experience?
So I mean, I've experienced this and I've shared this before, but as when I was a teacher, at the end of the day, my energy was, when I say depleted, gone, done, nothing left, burnout. I mean, it took just, you know, getting home from school and taking care of, you know, schoolwork and grading papers and then having little children on top of that and a family to take care of and feed and bathe and put to bed. I mean, I didn't even have the energy to sit down and watch like a TV show or like relax or chill. It was like kids in bed, I'm in bed. And that led to, I mean, you can do that Monday, Tuesday, okay, Wednesday, come Thursday or Friday, I remember like just chasing the weekend. Like I cannot wait to just get through the next 2 days and have 2 days off. And while I thought it, I did not realize at the time that that probably wasn't very healthy and I should have done some reflection. I don't think I knew any different though. I think I didn't realize this was unusual. And I also, I mean, probably because I didn't have the space and the time or really, to be really honest with you, it wasn't a priority to, you know, do personal development and growth. So I my thinking was limited. This is just the grind. This welcome to being an adult, right? With, you know, working with children. And it wasn't until I learned about the Colby A index when I came here for tour number two that I realized, no, that's not normal. That's not how your life should be. It should not be this constant push, like to get through the day. I think, I forget where I read this, but I think it was in David Dibble's book, but he used the phrase chasing the weekend. And I can tell you, I spent 7 years chasing the weekend. And that's not a place I want to be anymore. Yeah. Do I want to look forward to the weekend and having time with my family? Absolutely. But I don't want to feel like I'm crawling, like Friday's the finish line and I'm crawling to get there.
But I also think too, yes, you have something to look forward. You don't want to crawl there. But I know someone recently reached out on our previous conversation about just time and perspective. And I don't know, maybe there's a different, maybe people are seeing things differently. They're perceiving things differently than how we have in the past. When we think about time, when we think about energy. And I think it's important because it is that idea of being mindfulness, of being aware of what is energizing us and what is draining us. Because when you think about the idea of change and exponential change, particularly in a period like the age of AI, it requires energy at a biological level to change. Thinking about your brain, for example, that is physical matter. I think about this as like your brain is the hardware of a biological computer. On the other end of the spectrum, though, is you have your thoughts. You have conscious thought, you have unconscious thought, we'll call that data. And so that's where your mind is more like the software. And so when you're going through a period and time of transformation, whether that be personal transformation, professional transformation, leading to future growth, you are in fact, you're upgrading your software. You're upgrading your thoughts. And when you run an upgrade, say, for example, like my phone did last night.
Right. Mine did too.
Okay. So it wasn't just me. That upgrade requires energy. And it's interesting. When you think about your phone running an upgrade, the only time it will run an upgrade is when you have it plugged in, when you have it charging. Your phone will not run the upgrade. Will not run the upgrade if it's not plugged in, and which is typically why it runs the upgrade at night, because that's when you plug the phone in. And so to your point, thinking about your own perspective, coming home feeling drained, feeling tired every day. Now there might be some days where you just have a hard day, but if you're in this repeated cycle, this repeated pattern, because for example, if I was to say I don't go home feeling tired, exhausted, drained ever, I would be lying. Maybe that's 10, maybe 15, 20% of the time maximum. But a lot of that is because of my own poor choices and poor planning and poor behavior that put me in a spot that made me tired, drained, etc. So it's a result of my own actions. But coming back to this idea of upgrading your perspective, upgrading your thoughts, upgrading your beliefs, change requires energy, because literally your brain is rewiring new neural pathways. And thank goodness
for temporary.
It is temporary, but I think it's like, thank goodness for brain plasticity and the ability for us to rewire, relearn, because it does allow us to unlock new levels of growth personally and professionally. Because otherwise we're just stuck in this fixed mindset and the future becomes a predictable past based upon belief systems that inform our behavior coming from the past. What's your take on that?
I mean, I think it's important to note that, I'm glad you touched on this, that change does require energy, because I think so many of us, when we do experience change and we don't quite understand what that change will physically entail, mentally entail, that's when we get, say, stuck in the gap, or we're frustrated, or we even like maybe stop. Nope, I'm good with the change. Let's go back to the way things were. That's more comfortable. But if you realize that, nope, this is just my body getting used to something new, adjusting, adapting to a new system or a new routine, it's temporary. And you're going to get used to that. And it's just like, for me, it just gives me that extra little bit of motivation to just like push through for a minute, push through. But I think it's when it's that routine energy drain, like you say, you've noticed, 20% of the time, a handful of days a month, do you come home with your energy drained? But are you able to sit back that evening and reflect back? Okay, this is why. So it's just having that awareness of what's causing your energy to drain. Why? Is it in your control? Is it not in your control? Do you push through and let it go? Or do you do something about it?
You mentioned Colby before.
Yeah.
As a way to create awareness around your own personal energy, what is increasing your energy, what is draining your energy. Talk more about that, because once again, we've had some deeper level discussions on here, but I want to take that and then connect it into maybe a more practical example. But I think we need the context of how Colby is a great resource and a great tool for measuring and managing our energy that we're bringing personally and professionally to the world around us.
Yeah, definitely. Energy it's finite. We only have so much conative energy, and that's what Colby looks at, the conative part of your mind, and lets you know, what are your natural operating modes? What are your strengths? What gives you energy? And on the flip side, what depletes your energy? And so one of the really cool like visuals that you get anytime you take your Colby assessment, it's called the pyramid of energy. And it lets you know like ratios of where you should be spending your time, what activities you should be doing so that you don't deplete your energy. For you, the example I gave this morning of me texting you last minute and saying, hey, want to make a time change, hop on a little bit early. That was a change in situation. It was you operating in your natural operating mode, which is quick starting. So for you, you were like, zap, let's go. Let's get the show on the road. Good. I'm the opposite. Spending too much time in those last minute changes, decisions where I can't expect, and I'll tell you, normally, this morning, that threw me off my routine big time. And I was getting really close to getting stuck in the gap and getting exhausted because of it. It took me, I'll tell you, I had to go to the gym and be like, all right, I need to get some energy back, because it threw me off big time. And I dropped my kids off this morning and I remember being grumpy. I was like, oh God, like, we made it through, but I still have to get home. I have a full day ahead of me. But I was so aware of that, and I knew why my energy was drained, and I was able to just, do what I can to work with it. And so Looking at your Colby, I think it is such a great tool to really measure what's giving you energy and what's depleting your energy and what tasks you're doing, you know, day in and day out.
Right there, that idea of awareness.
Yeah.
How does this now relate into another strategic thinking model tool that we have, which is growth ability? Because mm-hmm. growth ability are the 3 to 5 core activities that you have the capability for, you have the capacity for, you have the confidence around it. They're the capabilities that give you energy. Your growth ability if you could do these 3 to 5 things for the rest of your life, you really would just be in an amazing place. But you move from, we'll say, growth ability into capability. And capability, you might be good at these things, but in reality, they could be distractions that pull you off focus. And if you don't have the awareness of what these activities are, I think that's when you start to feel some of that energy drain. And then you go from growth ability to capability. Yeah, you're capable, but is it the best investment of time, thinking about our previous conversation, to distractibility? And I really think that's where, in the digital world that we're living in right now, there are an exponential number of distractions. I mean, if you think about this, like, go back 10 years, go back just 20 years, and the amount of distractions that we have today, environmentally speaking, have increased exponentially compared to what it was before.
Major.
What do you do to manage that noise, to manage that distraction, being mindful of the energy drain that it can have on you to pull you out of your growth ability?
That's a really good question. The energy that you spend somewhere is going to be taken from somewhere else.
Very true.
And so I've had to just really get simple, like simplify to like what I'm giving my energy to and who I am. Because I know I only have a limited amount of it. And I have spread myself too thin many, many times. And you might, it's not going to last. It's not sustainable to do that. I have crashed and burned so many times because I spend my energy just going. And eventually at some point, I'm going to run out of gas. And then I'll have energy for nothing.
That right there, eventually you're going to run out of gas. And one of the things that I wrote about in Banking on Change is energy, it's like car fuel. Once it's depleted, or a cell phone battery, once it's depleted, it has to be refilled. And when we think about all of these distractions, particularly digital distractions, I've had to be very intentional with creating an environment that provides space for me to really get what Cal Newport writes about, to get deep work done. And we talked about this in a recent conversation, looking at the different types of days or the different types of time blocking that we can have on the calendar. We can have race days, we can have pace days, we can have rest days, we can have detox days. And one of the things that Cal Newport wrote in Deep Work, his book, is he said, we have to, quote, move beyond good intentions and add routines and rituals to your working life, designed to minimize the amount, and this is the key, designed to minimize the amount of limited willpower necessary to transition into and maintain a state of unbroken concentration.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and I don't know, this is maybe it's a philosophical question. I don't know if my ADD is, and I had it as a child, It just wasn't ever diagnosed. If going back and looking and seeing it and understanding some of the struggles, and now having four kids of my own and really seeing, almost seeing myself in one of my sons and his struggles, like, he's a brilliant mind, but my gosh, right. I worked with him last night on math and multiplication, and it was just like, focus, keep coming back. But a lot of it was environmental distractions with four kids in the house. You know, it's loud. And when we think about this idea of deep work, or what we call race days, for someone who is watching or for someone who is listening, and I know at least maybe four or five leaders in my mind right now that I'm thinking about who struggle with this, because they're like, I can't ever get anything quote unquote done. And as a result, the perception that they don't feel like they can get anything done, they leave the day, they end the week feeling drained, depleted, frustrated, and that then goes home with them.
Yeah.
How are you creating intentional space and time to get deep work done in a world full of digital distraction?
This has been hard for me. I will tell you, this has been something that I have really had to work at, and especially working from home, where, again, personal and professional, a lot of gray area. You know, I have a lot on my plate. I mean, we all have a lot on our plates, but there's always things to do. And so I've had to really practice this. And again, it comes back to setting boundaries. And I've had to I'm the kind of person where I have a lot on my list and I want to get it done all the time. I love checking things off my list. I have such a hard time prioritizing. To me, everything's an urgent matter that needs to get done. And so I have had to, and James Robert, you've helped, you know, this as well, is set boundaries. Like, you know what? If I don't get this done today, that's okay, because this day is for this task. I'll be honest with you, multitasking is not for me. It goes against my Colby. I try to do it all the time and it just doesn't work. So the blocking, for sure, that's on like the personal and professional side, is just giving myself permission. But then from like a team and organization, I mean, this has kind of had to be an organization-wide thing. I mean, I think we are fortunate that we have a culture that supports this. You support it. And so we're able to work together and say, okay, look, on this day, we're not talking, we're not having any meetings, we're done, we're just getting deep work done. But I understand that a lot of our members or people that we talk to don't have that culture built in. They are getting pulled into meetings nonstop. And the only thing I can think of is it really kind of has to start. It has to start like as a team. And maybe it is just your marketing team. Maybe you do need to have some hard conversations with others and like, look, let's batch our meetings on one day. Let's have this one other day for deep work. But I mean, that's all I can say, is that I think it's really got to be a cultural thing together to kind of be on the same page.
One of the things, and it's kind of a trend I'm seeing here as we start to wrap up, it's this idea, and we've instituted this ourselves, but no meeting Fridays.
Yes. Amazing.
Because you can wrap your week up, tie off those loose ends. And I know, for example, you and your Colby and your MO, you love checking things off the list. Now, on the flip side of the equation, I get a lot of energy, as you mentioned before, quick starting things. So yep. I almost find that for me, on my deep work race days, that I have to be very intentional with that time to not get distracted, to not go and quick start everything. But if I can focus on just quick starting on one thing, yeah. You've observed this. You're like, oh my gosh, the amount of progress that happened within a limited amount of time truly was exponential, because it was an investment of time and it was time hacking. And so to your point, creating a culture that allows for this type of operational activity really can create exponential benefits in progress and value creation. But if this is not something that is agreed upon, if there's not alignment, if there's not awareness at an executive level, perhaps maybe bring this down into a team to where you can have positive influence. And that becomes a model for others within the organization. So I think this idea, and there's a lot of research around this, to experiment with, for example, no meeting Fridays. Run that for a 90-day period and then do some reflection at the end of the week as an individual, as a team. For example, you know, I know we wrapped up asynchronously last Friday, and I sent you what went well for me this week. What were my wins? What am I excited about to end the week? What did I learn this week? What am I looking forward to next week? Because that is, you're still learning and understanding from me. I still learn and understand from you, even though we're in an asynchronous model like that.
And I think it's I want to add to that too, though. If you're going to do these deep work days or the no meeting Fridays, build in accountability with that. Send your end of day recap to share what you did. I think that's going to help everybody. Accountability. You know, look, we didn't have any meetings today, and look what I got accomplished. That's going to help motivate to continue these no meeting Fridays. It's not
true.
No meeting, you know, sign off, go rogue on your team. But build in those, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do today. When you do this, James Robert, you tell me in the morning, this is my big three. This is my plan. And then at the end of the day, this is what I accomplished and what I didn't and why not. That way you're still having that accountability. And I think this is probably more so for like the exec team to show the value of these, no meeting days, deep work days.
Yes. And to that point, I mean, as a leader myself, sharing what my big three are for the day, that's where I'm investing my time. That's where I'm spending my energy. And then at the end of the day, I'll do a recap, and it's on a scale of 1 to 3. It's like, if it was a one day, man, I got off track. I got distracted. Things pulled me off of what I really needed to focus on, but I'm not criticizing myself. I'm trying to be very objective. Now, to say that I'm not criticizing myself, that's an area of improvement, because sometimes I really do criticize myself. But by having that space to share with you, it allows me to look at things a little bit more objectively and not be so hard on myself. If it's
the awareness.
Exactly. And maybe, I don't know, I'm going to come back to this thought in a second, because if it's a 2 out of 3, it's like, I made some really good progress, but it's like, I could have been even better here and here. And then if it's a 3 out of 3, my, it was a great day. A lot of focus, a lot of progress.
But you always say why. Like, I didn't accomplish this because I did not anticipate X taking so long, or I may have, you know, spent a little bit too much time doing something else. So, you're thinking about why, and you're kind of self-assessing yourself to then do better even, you know, going forward.
So, but here's the thing, like in this age of AI, I've never really thought about this. I probably could honestly keep a running thread in ChatGPT to download some of this too. But my biggest concern in doing so is I wouldn't do it, because ChatGPT is not flesh and blood. ChatGPT, I can cheat. Yeah. I can not follow through. But to have the human accountability, I think, is going to be that much more valuable in this next age of AI, because the struggles that we deal with as individuals, as teams, as organizations, the people, the human factor, the messiness of change, of transformation, it has the potential to be even that much more challenging in a period, in a time of exponential change. as we wrap up, I want to help those watching or listening be able to do something practical next here when it comes to either creating some awareness around just their energy. And I probably should have prefaced this before. So if you got this far, fantastic. Thanks for not dropping out of this conversation, because I can, particularly for those who think very analytically, they might hear energy and think like woo-woo, but from a psychological standpoint, there's a lot of definitive science that says, hey, you really need to be paying attention to this stuff. If you are analytical, you can measure it, i.e. Colby. You can quantify this.
Exactly.
What's a great way for them to either create some awareness, manage this, measure it, create some progress based upon just your personal experience here yourself?
Sure. I mean, the best thing I think, or that I could recommend, would definitely be to complete your Colby A index if you haven't already. It is fascinating. It literally changed. So, I mean, it changed so much of my confidence level and my understanding of myself. And I have been able to far and away, you know, leverage that professionally and personally. And I mean, I'm in such a completely different spot than before I took it. If not, you can go back, and we've done several podcast recordings around Colby where we dive deep into it specifically for those in the financial industry. Feel free to send me a DM. I'll drop you the direct links to those conversations. But I think getting awareness of the Colby A index is 100% the first place to start.
And then you can take that once you have your own individual, then do that with your team. And we have seen this. You've observed this yourself. That really deepens alignment within the team. It's fascinating when organizations that we've worked with now for multiple years, you start to hear them reference Colby within their own internal conversations. And that, I would say, if I go back historically, just a decade, because we integrated Colby about three or four years ago into our own methodology. And if I think about the organizations that have integrated that into their team culture, their organizational culture, comparing that to, say, organizations that we worked with a decade ago, it really is a night and day difference. And I would attribute that to some of the perspective that Colby brought there. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, it can 100% be a game changer for your team as well. James Robert, you and I, our professional relationship, knowing Colby, we give each other more like grace and understanding because we know what works, you know, for us and kind of what depletes our energy. So we don't take things personally. Like it really reduces. I can tell you without Colby, there's a solid, and I don't mean this in like a negative way, just realistic. There's a solid, you know, possibility that we would have a lot of tension because you and I are pretty polar opposite on our Colby, but we know that that's just the way we operate. And instead of letting it bother us, we actually, you know, work with it. We set ourselves up for success and we have fun and tease each other about it too. So,
well, and I think that's the idea when it comes to be energy, be mindful who you're around, be mindful of who's on your team, whether that's personally or professionally. And team, once again, comes down to how you're investing your time, how you're spending your energy, because Audrey, as you mentioned, energy is finite. What are you paying attention to, which we'll cover on the next podcast. And then also how all of that impacts, you know, how you perceive meaning and how you spend your money. So let's go ahead and wrap up here. This has been a great conversation, Audrey, as always. And until next time, be well, do good, be the light.